I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Melissa Cipriano, Executive Director of the Children's Heart Foundation. Melissa has more than 20 years' experience in nonprofit leadership and community relations, combined with a passion for helping people in need, especially children. The Children's Heart Foundation's Walk with the Heart of a Child has almost as much experience as Melissa because it's celebrating its 20th anniversary this month. Melissa, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
So for those who aren't familiar, what does the Children's Heart Foundation do?
The Children's Heart Foundation provides services and resources to families who have a child that's diagnosed with what's called a congenital heart defect, or CHDs. And once a child is diagnosed, we meet with families and we determine what their needs are, and we help as much as we can with financial assistance, emotional support, and any quality of life programming that will help the family throughout their journey with their child.
Okay. How prevalent are congenital heart defects here in Nevada?
They're pretty common. One out of every 100 babies born in the United States are born with some form of a congenital heart defect or congenital heart disease. So they are pretty common. You know, once a family is diagnosed, it just depends, you know, how severe the cases are. There's very complex cases that require invasive surgery, and in many cases, multiple surgeries. And so if you can imagine having a child who has gone through many, many hospital visits, a couple surgeries, it puts a toll on the family emotionally and financially. And if we can help those families get through that, you know, we're doing our job. We can't do what we do without the support of our community. Everything we do is by the donated dollar. We rely on our community to wrap their arms around these families and help us make a difference for them. So that's why we are, you know, gearing up for our 20th annual Walk with the Heart of a Child on April 22nd.
Yeah, tell us about that. It's an amazing milestone, 20th annual Walk with the Heart of a Child. You've been doing it for 20 years, which is incredible. So tell us what the walk is all about.
The walk is an opportunity to bring our heart families together so they can meet one another and raise awareness for their child and for others that are, you know, walking in their same path. And it's just a really neat thing to see when, you know, you bring all these heart families together because their stories are so similar. And many of them have gone through that same journey, and meeting one another is so helpful for these families. And, you know, it's free for all of our heart families to register, but we offer incentives if they decide to, you know, fundraise. We've got, you know, free t-shirts and different types of incentive prizes. And so it's really fun to see the friendly competition among the different teams because, you know, they get bragging rights and a really cool award at the end of it if they, you know, are the team that raises the most money or gets the most people on their team. And so it's not just all about the money. It's also just bringing, you know, a group of people together to raise that awareness and also to hopefully get our community on board with us, which is so important to us so we can grow as an organization and continue to fulfill our mission by helping these special families.
Yeah, that sounds great. So when you talk about raising awareness and the families going on very similar journeys, can you give us an idea of what that journey is like? Like, how is CHD diagnosed in a child? Is this something that the parents are aware of as soon as the child is born? Or what are the different types of scenarios that could happen?
Well, there's a few different scenarios. Some moms are diagnosed in utero, meaning it's a prenatal diagnosis. And, you know, they're given that diagnosis. And truly, a lot of what the doctors see or, you know, pending surgeries, et cetera, won't happen, of course, until the baby is born and the severity of what they think that diagnosis is. So we've got the prenatal family. So those that know that they're going to have an infant with a heart condition. And then there's families that don't know until after the birth of a child. Something happens, you know, when they're doing the exam of the infant right after birth, and then they discover that there's something wrong with the baby's heart. So there's further testing and examining that has to happen for them to determine, you know, the diagnosis of what type of CHD the baby will have. And then there's those that go undiagnosed. There's a lot of scenarios where I've heard stories of families where they didn't know their child had a heart condition until, you know, later on. maybe their pediatrician heard something or they were having symptoms of something that could be related to a heart condition. And I've heard stories of those families, you know, at an older age, you know, the age of 9, the age of 10, the age of 13, where something has happened to where it's concerning. And then they're seen by a pediatric cardiologist. So there's different scenarios. It's just like a fingerprint. Not every single one is exactly identical as another. So these families are taken care of very well by the Children's Heart Center, which is the pediatric cardiology group in the state of Nevada. They have two offices up in northern Nevada, and they have two offices here in Las Vegas. And so they cover the entire state. There's an incredible team of cardiologists that, you know, if you ask a lot of these parents, you know, they're just so thankful and they adore their cardiologists because they are truly, you know, superheroes in their mind because they have helped save the life of their child.
Nice. So for those who choose to participate in the fundraising activities at the 20th annual Walk with the Heart of a Child, what exactly do the funds raised go to support?
It goes to support our family outreach programs, which is our financial assistance. If a family is in a medical crisis, we assist with a utility bill, or we put money towards their rent or their mortgage payment. Or if they have a medical device or equipment that's not covered by insurance, which it sounds shocking, but it has happened, we help kick in. Or if their insurance doesn't cover a particular medication, we help cover that as well. And then, you know, frequent hospital and doctor's visits can get very costly in terms of course, how the price of our gas is in Las Vegas. And so we help with gas cards, grocery store cards. And if the family has to travel from northern Nevada to Las Vegas or for their child's surgery, or from rural Nevada to Las Vegas for their care, we help with those travel costs. So we help with gas cards. If they have to fly, we will get them air flights. We partner with the Ronald McDonald House, but if the Ronald McDonald House is full, we will help pay for lodging at a local hotel until we can get them into the Ronald McDonald House. So each case is different, but we help with that. That's our financial support. But we also, the funds from this walk will also go to fund our Camp Mend a Heart, which is a medically supervised camp for ages 7 to 17. And we are going the first week in June to Pathfinder Ranch. And so, you know, it costs a lot of money to have a medically supervised camp, but it's super important for these children to experience a childhood tradition that is loved by so many people in this world. And we feel it's very important. It gives them a sense of belonging. It gives them a sense of independence, as well as creating memories and creating friendships with other heart children that have gone through similar circumstances that they have. And it's just a really special group of young people that are able to experience some things. And all the while, it's safe for them because we have one of our cardiologists is in attendance at camp, as well as four nurses. So we want them to be able to experience a childhood tradition that is deserving of all children.
Okay, that's amazing. All right, so we know that the 20th annual Walk with the Heart of a Child is happening next Saturday, April 22nd, and it's at Craig Ranch Regional Park. What time does everything get underway?
Registration check-in opens at 9 a.m. and then we will be having some food trucks and face painting and the Children's Kids Zone sponsored by Resorts World. So there'll be some jumpy houses and inflatable games, and it's going to be a lot of fun for the kids. And the walk opening ceremonies will take place about 10 a.m. and we wrap up right around noon. So it's going to be a great afternoon. I've been stalking the Weather Channel's app to make sure that our weather is going to be great. And it's supposed to be a high of 80 or 85, I think, that day with light winds. So it's going to be a great day. And we welcome four-legged family members as long as they're on a leash. And, you know, strollers are welcome. It's a 1 mile walk with your family. And we encourage, you know, making family signs for your family team, and people can still register all the way up to the day before of the walk. And they can get that registration link at our website, which is chfn.org.
Okay, nice. And then obviously at chfn.org, they can also find out more about the Children's Heart Foundation and what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely, yes. We've got a couple videos on there. We have a sample of our camp video from last summer. That's under one of the links of what we do. Just look for Camp Mend a Heart so people can see, you know, where their money's going to fund and how happy the kids are in that video. It's pretty awesome.
That's great. Okay, so once again, chfn.org is the website to go to. chfn.org. It stands for Children's Heart Foundation Nevada, chfn.org. And you can find out more about the Children's Heart Foundation there, or sign up to take part in the 20th annual Walk with the Heart of a Child, which is happening next Saturday, April 22nd. Registration starts at 9 a.m. There's all kinds of fun stuff going on with Kids Zone and vendors and community partner booths. And then the opening ceremonies at 10, and it takes place at Craig Ranch Regional Park. And I guess, Melissa, I should ask, what types of community partners and vendors will be there as well?
Oh, gosh. Well, we invite all of our partner agencies. So we are going to have Miracle Flights. Ronald McDonald House is going to be out there. Gigi's Playhouse is going to be out there. I'm trying to think all the different ones. Nevada Donor Network, they're going to have a booth. And then all of our sponsors. So we've got Finley Subaru Las Vegas, Landmark Recovery, they're going to have some booths. We've got North Las Vegas SWAT is going to come pending there's no emergencies, as well as their canine unit. So that they're going to do some demonstrations. So that's pretty exciting. And McGruff, and we're going to have princesses and all the characters out there to be roaming around the kids zone. So we're pretty excited. It'll be a great day for families, and the weather's going to be perfect. So we're super excited that April 22nd is going to be a great day.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. All right. So once again, chfn.org is the place to go to sign up for the 20th annual Walk with the Heart of a Child happening next Saturday, April 22nd, starting at 9 a.m. at Craig Ranch Regional Park. And Melissa, I want to thank you so much for being here, letting us know about what you're doing and how people can take part and help out, and especially letting us know about the Heart families and all the good stuff that you guys are doing to support them. So I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Heather. You're always so good to us. So we appreciate you and this opportunity to be able to promote our event.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. I care deeply about creating a world we can all fully participate in, free from stigma, misperceptions, and barriers. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Rooted in communities nationwide, Easter Seals helps empower millions of people, regardless of age or disability, through its life-changing services and powerful advocacy. Today and every day, Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Month as a part of one thing. If all of us do our one thing together, that's millions of things for our planet. Chris Martin tells us what his one thing is.
We try and use recyclable materials as much as possible. But just in the house, it's like switching lights off, and we have an effect on the Earth, and so we can probably have a positive one too.
To find your one thing, plus music, podcasts, and more, go to odyssey.com/one thing or download the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Marissa Flagg, coordinator with the Animal Network. The local rescue organization is partnering with Jordan's Way for an upcoming live Facebook fundraising event. Marissa, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So what is the Animal Network?
We are not a shelter. We are a network. We're a rescue. And what we do is we try to save animals that need assistance from the shelter. We also help other families rehome their animals. And what my favorite part that we do that I didn't even realize till I became an active volunteer was we do also try and help families who need help keeping their animals. So it might be just fostering for a little while. We've had people that go into nursing homes or unfortunately some kind of a rehab, and we help those animals. We also try to help families if they are in need with vet care and or medications, food, things like that. And just recently, we had an incident where we actually had a person that was hospitalized, and we went and got the dog and took care of the dog for a little while. So our main, you know, idea is rescuing any breed in need. And we're really excited because not only do we do adoptions and things to rehome and find homes for our furry friends, but we also really try to work with the community, helping them with their own pets as well.
Wow, that sounds great. I was going to ask what sets it apart from other animal rescue organizations, because we have a lot of wonderful animal rescue organizations in Las Vegas. But, you know, taking care of the pets so that the owner can get back on their feet, that sounds like something I've never heard of before.
And I never even knew that. I personally have my own pets from them. And one of them was put on, you know, the dreadful list from one of a local shelter. And so I would just was always focused on the adoption and the saving aspect. But even just recently, I was at a veterinarian's office and a man walked up to me and asked me if I was with Animal Network. I said, sure. He shook my hand and I said, thank you. And we recently got a phone call from him. His dog was in distress with and needed an emergency C-section. And so we helped with that as well. So our main priority, obviously, is just anything about the pets. We just want to either rehome them or we want to help people with their own.
Nice. Okay. And how long has the Animal Network been around?
Since 2011.
That's awesome. Okay. So I mentioned that you're partnering with Jordan's Way. And Jordan's Way isn't something I had heard of before. So what exactly is Jordan's Way?
So Jordan is the name of a dog. Chris is a man who several years ago went to a shelter in his hometown and he adopted Jordan, which had been at the place for 3 years.
Wow.
So it really made him kind of stir and think, wow. Well, we had Jordan for 11 years. And then from there, Jordan had passed away and he wanted to know what he could do to help clear the shelters. So his idea is to bring as much awareness to shelters and advocates for animals nationwide. So he's done a couple of US tours. He's getting ready to come to Nevada for a few days. He's going to do a clear the shelter, 40 shelters in 40 days in California. And he just basically goes around to organizations and help people get awareness of what they're doing, as well as help with funding and spotlight specific animals that may be that, you know, quote unquote, Jordan, so they can get adopted.
Nice. Okay. So tell us about the specific fundraising event that you have coming up with Jordan's Way.
So what they do is a 3-hour Facebook Live event where he poses challenges in order to raise the funds. And so there might be some sliming involved, some pie challenges, lots of treats for the dogs. We've got, when we hit a certain benchmark, they might get puppuccinos or hot dogs or little burgers. And so basically a bunch of the volunteers from the rescue and then people from the community that want to contribute. The idea is to raise those funds. And as the meter goes up, there's different challenges that we will be performing and doing live. And he also goes around to our cats and our dogs that we have at the facility we'll be at to introduce them, spend time with them. He focuses on a few like that. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're really excited. We know that a daytime feed is a little bit of a challenge, but we were going to take what we could get. So we're really excited to partner with him.
So when is this happening?
April 24th is the actual Facebook Live event, and it'll be streaming live on Animal Network's Facebook page from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then we are accepting donations. And if anybody wants to come out and participate, they can contact us through our website is animalnetwork.net. And you can contact us through that or Facebook. And we are trying to get as many people involved as possible to help out and to possibly raise some funds and awareness for our babies.
That's awesome. Okay, so this is, you know, it's a great event you've got with the 3-hour thing. Now, what if people are not able to attend the live event since it happens on a Monday during the day, as you mentioned, and
yes.
So, you know, 3-hour live. But what if they want to find out more about the Animal Network or maybe even become a volunteer if you're looking for volunteers?
We are always looking for volunteers. We are looking for volunteers as small as coming to a Sunday adoption and handling animal to fostering. So on our website, animalnetwork.net, we do have forms, volunteer forms, and things they can fill out and email to us. They could also contact us through our Facebook page, which is just Animal Network Rescue. We're really good about answering questions on there really quickly. We do have a phone number as well, but we are 100% non-paid. Nobody in a rescue gets a paycheck. We all have full-time jobs, and this is what we do for extra. So every single penny that we raise goes straight to the animals. So we all just do this because we love animals and love what we do. So we do have a phone number, but it's really hard for us to answer the phone. So emailing or contacting us through social media is the best way to go. And our website has all the forms if people are interested in volunteering.
Okay, awesome. So once again, the website is animalnetwork.net, animalnetwork.net. You can find out more about the Animal Network. You can sign up to be a volunteer. You can email them if you have questions, animalnetwork.net. And then the 3-hour Facebook Live Challenge hosted by Jordan's Way is happening on Monday, April 24th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you can see that on the Animal Network Facebook page, which is facebook.com/theanimalnetwork. And once again, if you want to check out the website, animalnetwork.net. And Marissa, this sounds like a lot of fun. I hope people can take part and watch the live Facebook live event that's happening on Monday, April 24th. It's great that you got to partner with Jordan's Way. It sounds like he's doing a lot of Chris.
Yep.
It sounds like Chris is doing a lot of good for rescue organizations across the country as well. So that's fantastic that you got to partner with Jordan's Way.
We're really excited.
I bet you are. And, you know, it sounds super fun with like sliming and everything. So are you getting slimed?
I have offered that if we hit our goal that I will sleep in a kennel with a dog for a night. And my husband has offered up that he is willing to have his armpit waxed for a certain amount if we hit a goal. So we've got quite a few things, sliming, pie in the face, an ice bucket challenge. So lots of things. I pretty much agreed to do anything as long as I don't want to eat a bug and I don't want to shave anything off like my head or my face. Other than that, I'm pretty game for almost anything if it helps my little furry friends.
Fantastic. All right. So once again, if you want to watch that, it's happening Monday, April 24th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the Animal Network Facebook page, which is facebook.com/theanimalnetwork. And their website, once again, is animalnetwork.net. And Marissa, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know what you're doing to help out the animals, to raise awareness, to raise some funds, and hopefully help a lot of animals in the process. So I really appreciate your time and letting us know about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Month as a part of One Thing. If all of us do our one thing together, that's millions of things for our planet. Dave Matthews tells us his one thing.
We do some things on the road. We're trying to reduce plastic bottles by getting free water dispensed at all the venues so people can fill up their bottles.
To find your one thing, plus music, podcasts, and more, go to odyssey.com/one thing or download the free Odyssey app.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly everything seems darker, less lively, and you lose your motivation to get out of bed.
If you struggle with depression, you're not alone. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, and no matter the time of year, it may affect your behavioral or physical ability to live a happy life.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you're going through, and we're here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental wellness.
If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
I'm Heather Vail, and you're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Ashley Schmidt, Vice President of Regulatory and Compliance at Inmar Intelligence. Ashley's a practiced healthcare industry leader with a background in the regulatory, pharmaceutical, and managed care segments. According to a national survey on consumer drug take-back awareness, 76% of respondents currently have leftover, unused, expired, or unwanted medications in their homes, but many don't know what to do with them. Well, National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day is April 22nd. Ashley, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Heather.
So what exactly is National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day?
So the United States Drug Enforcement Administration's National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day is an opportunity for Americans to safely and positively dispose of unwanted medications. The program runs twice a year in the spring and the fall, reminding us that we should clean out our medications to safely remove them twice a year.
Okay, what does that mean to safely dispose of drugs? What constitutes doing it safely?
That's a very good question. So we know that drug-related deaths continue to plague us across the U.S., yet our old and unused prescriptions still too often fail to find their way to a secure take-back location. So securely pulling all of your medications that are unwanted, unused, or expired out of your medicine cabinets and removing them from your home and depositing them into a local kiosk or perhaps dropping them off during the National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day event in your local community will help ensure that the drugs are properly disposed of.
Okay, so obviously I understand why it's important to get rid of expired drugs, but you know, you say unwanted or unused, but you know, we always have that thought in the back of our mind, well, what if I need it later? What if I, you know, have the same thing and I just want to have it on hand? Why is it important to get rid of them if we're not using them?
Right. Well, that's a really, really good point. So the main reason that it's important is that 47% of misused prescription pain relievers are either given by, bought from, or taken from a friend or relative. So we know there's a high likelihood that if you have prescription medications in your cabinet and someone who, you know, maybe a close family member could be searching for or could come across in your trash even, those unused and unwanted medications. So it's really important to properly and securely dispose of them.
Okay, why can't we just flush them down the toilet?
Oh, that's a really good question also. So 46 million Americans have trace pharmaceuticals in their treated drinking water. So obviously, you know, that is not something that we want. So it's very important that they don't make it to a landfill and certainly that they are not flushed down a toilet.
Okay. So basically the only secure and safe place to get rid of them is in one of these local kiosks where you can deposit the drugs or during a take back event.
That's true, Heather. And there are also a couple of other ways, including mailback services. So some local pharmacies offer a mailback package that will allow you, if you are not able to get out, to safely and securely mail your unused or unwanted medications directly to a disposal facility.
Nice. Okay. So what does Inmar Intelligence do to support consumer drug take-back efforts?
Well, thank you so much for asking that. Inmar has collected over 1,400 pounds of unused and expired medications from previous drug take-back event days. And across the country, we host 6,000 kiosks, and we've collected over 1 million pounds of unused medications from those 6,000 kiosks. Those kiosks can be found in your local pharmacy, in a hospital pharmacy, and in some cases, also in law enforcement agencies across the country.
Okay, nice. So where do we find out where these kiosks are?
So the best way to find the location of the kiosk is to visit safemedicinedrop.com, which is our website that will provide you with, you can enter your zip code, and it will show you where the closest kiosk is to your home.
Okay, perfect. So where can listeners find out more information about Inmar Intelligence in general? And you did mention safemedicinedrop.com for finding the drug disposal services. But what if they want to find out more information about what's going on and what you do?
Yeah, you can find us at Inmar.com. And we do offer other services. But most importantly today, our consumer drug take back services. And we do hope that your listeners will take advantage of looking for a local kiosk near them or a local event.
Yeah, awesome. So there are kiosks located in the area. So safemedicinedrop.com is where you want to go if you want to drop off some of your unused, unwanted, or expired prescription drugs. Safemedicinedrop.com. It's the perfect time of year to do it because coming up on April 22nd, we have National Prescription Drug Takeback Day. And as Ashley mentioned, that happens twice a year, spring and fall. So while you're doing your spring cleaning, why not clean out those unwanted drugs and dispose of them safely and properly? So once again, that's safemedicinedrop.com. And if you want to find out more about Inmar Intelligence, they're at inmar.com. And Ashley, I want to thank you so much for being here talking about this very important topic that a lot of us don't even really think about. So it's great that they have a national day to remind us. And it's great that we have people like you telling us what to do with them and why we should dispose of them properly. So I really appreciate you being here. Thank you, Ashley.
Sure. Thank you so much, Heather. And I just want to emphasize that almost 300 people per day die from drug overdose. So it is vitally important that we properly dispose of our unwanted medications. You could literally save a family member's life. So as we like to say, make every day drug take back day.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. All right. Thanks again, Ashley.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, Heather.
Charlie died after taking a single pill that turned out to be counterfeit.
He was having back issues, and it was a counterfeit poisonous pill.
Websites and social media selling fake medicines may look legitimate, but they're not. Drugs from these rogue pharmacies could have fillers like sawdust or deadly fentanyl.
He died in less than 15 minutes after taking the pill.
Now there's a free tool that can give you peace of mind. At safe.pharmacy, enter the pharmacy web address and you'll know if the site you're using is safe.
If you're not getting your prescriptions from a legitimate source, that next dose you take could be your last.
We just don't want other people to go through what we're going through. It's just horrific.
Go to safe.pharmacy. Find out about fake medicine on social media and if the site you're buying from is safe.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Month as a part of One Thing. If all of us do our one thing together, that's millions of things for our planet. Join us at odyssey.com/onething and the free Odyssey app. There, you can discover what your one thing is. Hear what your favorite artists, athletes, and public figures are doing to protect the environment and listen to podcasts and music about our planet. Odyssey celebrates Earth Month at odyssey.com/onething and the free Odyssey app. That's AUDACY.
Odyssey is celebrating Earth Month and our commitment to one thing. If each of us does one thing to help the environment, that's millions of things that add up to make an enormous difference. Hey, I'm Corey from Odyssey. With Earth Day coming up on April 22nd, Odyssey's Karina Delgado checks in from the nation's capital with Dr. M. Sanjan, the CEO of Conservation International. Each year, Odyssey partners with Conservation International on behalf of our team to donate a project supporting our planet. Anything from protecting mangroves and tropical rainforests to saving elephant habitats. One thing adds up. We've planted trees to restore the forest. We've protected acres of valuable habitat for bees and other pollinators. And all of it starts with the power of people doing one thing. But it's not just the big things. Your one thing could be as simple as using a reusable water bottle instead of buying bottled water. I made that switch a couple of years ago. Maybe you carpool or take public transportation to work instead of driving every day with your own car. Dr. Sanjan will share his ideas for your one thing. He also shares the latest on his exciting new documentary project. It's called Our Changing Planet, with the second season slated to air on PBS. Now, let's head to D.C. and check in with Karina.
Sanjan! London. Hi, how are you?
I am well.
Great to talk to you. It's been about a year, right? How has your year been?
The year's been really busy.
Oh, I bet. Well, tell us all about it.
Well, you know, the big thing that I've been doing this year is I filmed the second episode of my series, Changing Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is an epic 7-year project where
yes.
we go to the same places every year
mm-hmm.
and basically figure out what the change is looking like, right?
Yeah.
Because we know the planet is changing under us. We know it's climate change. We know it's biodiversity loss. But we also know people are coming up with some amazing solutions. And so in this year, you know, some of my journeys were really about going back to the place I went to in year one and seeing what has happened.
You mentioned that this is a 7-year project, but this is just season 2 coming up, right?
Well, we, you know, this is year 2 of a 7-year project.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So, you know, maybe when we do this interview 5 years from now, I can give you the background.
Certainly. Well, did you see significant changes over the course of the year?
I mean, you know, the big thing that dominated us in this most recent episode,
mm-hmm.
which you will see on Earth Day, April 19th, on PBS, is that we really tracked to fire.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Yeah, especially
and
out there in California, right?
In California, in yeah. Australia. I mean, we had the entire continent essentially on fire to
yes.
some extent, right?
Yes.
But the positive side of this is we also followed some amazing indigenous stories
mm-hmm.
of indigenous people, the Yurok in California, the Pintupi in Australia, and how indigenous peoples are using fire to manage the land. And so it's a two, you know, it's like two sides of the same coin, right?
Yeah.
Devastating wildfires can wreck the environment and, you know, destroy lives and property.
Absolutely.
But using fire in the right way can help us manage an area to prevent catastrophic wildfires. So to be honest, you know, I went to California during a heavy fire season knowing that I'm going to see something pretty bad. But I came away to some extent with a sense of optimism because of what I saw in Northern California with indigenous tribes, the Yurok in particular,
mm-hmm.
and how they were managing their own land
yeah.
in a way that was more resilient to fire and really just very optimistic. And the same thing in Australia.
With that, as you were saying, working with the indigenous people there and learning some of their practices to use fire to, I guess, sort of mitigate some of the effects of climate change. Can you dive into that a little bit more? Like, how can using fire prevent that? I'm trying to think of is that like controlled burning to burn back brush so that when a fire does take place, it doesn't get out of hand, or how does that work?
So that's one way. So controlled burning to make mm-hmm. sure that fires don't get out of hand when they really do come
sure.
is one way. But what is kind of amazing about sort of indigenous wisdom is that indigenous people have been using fire on landscapes for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And as they were prevented from following their traditional practices, habitats changed.
Yes.
And as those habitats changed, in many instances, they became much more prone to fire.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go into northwestern Australia and you go to the Pintupi people, you know, they basically manage a land about the size of Denmark.
Mm.
Really a big piece of territory.
Sure.
And they light fires all the time. Like, I have the chance to light fires with them.
Yeah.
And there's small fires, but they're constant, like all the time during a particular season. And it basically keeps the habitat in a particular state. Interestingly, very, very, very good place for endangered species. All the endangered species are there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the difference in the habitat. So those catastrophic wildfires don't tend to have the impact that they have in other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk to the Yurok, and the Yurok consider themselves the original restorers of planet Earth.
Yes.
Like, they really see themselves as a restoration people. And that's what they're trying to do there. They're not just restoring their own cultural practices, but they're also trying to restore the land into a habitat type that is a bit more resilient to these changes that we're seeing today.
I love that. You know, I am originally from Anchorage, Alaska, and Alaska itself has a huge indigenous population. And part of something that we saw in that location with our own eyes is that each year, little by little, the Portage Glacier that we, whereas at one point we could just step out onto the glacier from, you know, from the side of the road, it was receding, receding, receding. And so to speak to the show Our Changing Planet, that was something mm-hmm. that we could see daily. And to your point, yes, the indigenous people, they have their own way of addressing how the land that they live on is changing beneath them, and how it is incorporated into their culture, and how they have restorative practices for the land itself.
Exactly. I mean, these are people who have lived on the land and managed the land for literally thousands of years.
Yes.
In the case of Australia, 60,000 years.
Sure.
You know, we've been on this land like, you know, for 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, 100 years. Certainly not more than that. Certainly not in North America.
Yeah.
So the sense that we would be great managers of this land, you know, when you see the history of land management is, you know, is obviously false. Mm-hmm. And there's an enormous amount we can learn from that indigenous wisdom and apply it today at scale with modern science. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to give the impression that just if you follow indigenous practices, everything will be okay. Obviously, the transformations we've made have been big.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of wisdom there that needs to be incorporated into how we see the natural world we live in.
Absolutely. Well, circling back to the Our Changing Planet mm-hmm. show, you mentioned that you revisit six different vulnerable ecosystems mm-hmm. and Australia being one of them. Can you tell us what some of the other locations are inside the show?
Yeah, so the Maldives, which are a beautiful atoll in the middle of the Indian Ocean, because mm-hmm. they're so, so at risk from climate change.
Yes.
But they also have incredible reefs. So if you really want to understand the marine story, that's a place.
Okay.
Kenya, you know,
yes.
Kenya has now experienced probably its fourth year of consecutive drought.
Mm-hmm.
When the rains have failed again and again and again.
Wow.
And the impact it's having on people and wildlife is very severe. So we get to see how some communities are using carbon mitigation as a way of protecting forests that provide water for wildlife and people. We go to Cambodia to look at the forests of Southeast Asia and some of the biggest river systems in the world. And, of course, the Amazon. You can't talk about a changing planet without talking about the Amazon, the biggest rainforest on planet Earth. And then California. You know, California is, you know, ground zero if you want to talk about climate change, both impacts as well as the opportunities for change, if you talk about the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if our listeners would like to catch the first season of Our Changing Planet, where do they find that?
The second season should be online on PBS.
Okay.
But the second season is going to be aired on April 19th.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, 9 p.m. Eastern Time and 8 p.m. Central Time on PBS.
On PBS. Okay.
Yes.
And then so available on demand at PBS.org?
Yes. I'm pretty sure PBS puts most of their shows on demand.
Excellent.
On their website.
So if in watching the first season, since it's already available, and then to basically binge, and then seeing the debut of the second on the 19th, if that inspires some folks to help out on Earth Day, what are some ways that listeners can jump on board?
Yeah, so there's a great question. I know you always think about the one thing you can do. So, by the way, I would say you don't have to watch the first season to enjoy the second one, but it'd be nice to do that. And the second one does go to Australia, which we didn't do in the first season because obviously we filmed that during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't allowed to go to Australia
in
season one, so you get to see some new stuff. But, like, look, the one thing question is a really big question, right? So I'm going to give you two quick things. So the first thing I think everyone can do is be much more conscious about how much they waste in terms of food. So what you eat, how you cook it, and how much you waste.
Okay.
So agricultural use of land is the biggest, most pervasive land use we have.
Oh, okay.
And we want food to be available for everyone, but we want to be mindful about what we use and waste. It'll be just better for your wallet and a huge better for the environment.
Okay.
Okay. I'll give you a very simple example, right? So when I make coffee in the morning, I boil a whole pot of water in order to make coffee. That's silly and idiotic because all that heat energy that I'm using to boil water for one cup is just a bad way of doing it.
Sure.
Right? And it's a big, big impact. So what you eat, eat lower on the food chain and be very, very aware of waste. The second thing I would say is we now know that even if we make the energy transition that is well on its way, so electric cars, solar panels, et cetera, we'll still not end up with a livable planet if we don't also protect nature.
Yes.
So I would say to every person listening, you ought to be supporting organizations that are out there restoring and protecting nature. It could be in your backyard. It could be in your local community, or it could be a global organization like Conservation International, which is what I work for. It doesn't actually matter as long as you are doing your part to restore and protect the planet.
Wonderful. Well, I just wanted to personally thank you for following up with us and catching up with us again this year and let us know what's going on with Our Changing Planet. Again, to our listeners, if you'd like to catch that, it is available at www.pbs.org and season 2 debuting on April 19th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on PBS, just ahead of Earth Day. Dr. Sanjin, thank you so much for joining us this year. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
More stories about our environment at onething.us or on the Odyssey app, which you can download now for free. We'll cover environmental news like new requirements for car emissions or changes to public parks. With Earth Day right around the corner, consider getting outside and doing your own project, planting trees, cleaning up litter, and while you do so, you can listen to One Thing Radio, free on the Odyssey app. Soak up songs about the Earth and enjoy doing your one thing with artists like Odessa, Imagine Dragons, and more. And there's our brand new station, Bloom, a bright and poppy playlist guaranteed to grow on you with artists like Tate McRae, B. Miller, Jeremy Zucker, and more. And hear how your favorite artists are making a difference. We talk to everyone from Marcus Mumford and Dave Matthews to Lizzo, Harry Styles, and Shawn Mendes, each of them sharing the one thing that they do to help the environment. Like, here's how Dua Lipa tries to do her part while on tour.
Because I fly so much, I like to pay towards Carbon Return and like a charity that will do a lot of things in terms of sustainability, because sometimes trying to get from A to B with my job is difficult.
And Macklemore with something easy to do at your house.
I recycle. I'm great at recycling. I take out the recycle, I stomp the cans, I break down the cardboard boxes, and I recycle.
And yeah, shopping at the thrift store does help the reuse part of the three R's. Thank you for spending some time with us, being open to learning about sustainability, and thinking about your one thing. You can find this station on the Odyssey app, which you can download now for free, and find out more there, or visit onething.us.
We are all on this planet together, so join Odyssey and find your one thing. Fruits and vegetables are very environmentally friendly foods. Make them even more friendly by eating them in season and by choosing produce that is local and organic. Shopping at farmers markets are a great way to do both. And start growing fruits and vegetables in your own garden. Even if you live in an apartment, you can start with just a few potted plants. Join Odyssey, and together, each of us doing one thing makes a greener tomorrow. What's your one thing?
Odyssey celebrates Earth Month as a part of One Thing. If all of us do our one thing together, that's millions of things for our planet. Ann Wilson of Heart tells us her one thing.
One thing that my husband and I do is we do not use paper towels in the kitchen, ever. That's one thing, one way we try to save paper.
To find your one thing, plus music, podcasts, and more, go to odyssey.com/one thing or download the free Odyssey app.
As Americans, we celebrate all the things that make us different. So what is the thing that connects us? The thing that makes us Americans? It's simple. It's our shared belief that we are Americans. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. That belief that we each can be who we are and live the life we dream. In harmony with one another, in our system, written in the words of the Constitution. Know your Constitution. It's who you are. It's who we are.
Unity. It's an American thing. From AmericanThing.org.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. The AARP Foundation is providing free in-person and virtual tax assistance and preparation through their tax aid program for a few more days until April 18th. It's focused on people over 50, but anyone can use the free services, and you don't have to be an AARP member. Find out more or book your appointment at aarpfoundation.org/taxaid. That's T-A-X-A-I-D-E. aarpfoundation.org/taxaid. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, April 17th at 8 p.m. benefiting Shania Kids Can, and Monday, May 8th at 8 p.m. benefiting NLS, Nevada Legal Services. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. Also coming up is the 4th annual Monday's Dark 5K Cowbell Jammer on Sunday, April 30th, with check-in at 8 a.m., group warm-up at 8:30, and fun run at 9 a.m. at True Fusion Eastern. This 5K supports many of the incredible local organizations that Monday's Dark has partnered with, and you get to choose your benefiting organization when you register. There's also post-race karaoke and, of course, more cowbell. It's sure to be an exciting morning filled with fun to give back to the Vegas community. Register or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The 20th annual Walk with the Heart of a Child to support the Children's Heart Foundation is happening Saturday, April 22nd at Craig Ranch Regional Park, with 9 a.m. registration, 10 a.m. opening ceremonies and walk, and 11 a.m. closing ceremonies. Vendors, community partner booths, Kids Zone, and food trucks will be on site. Find out more or register to walk at chfn.org/walk. That's chfn.org/walk. April 22nd is National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. Safely dispose of your unwanted, unused, or expired medication at a local kiosk. Find a location at safemedicinedrop.com. That's safemedicinedrop.com. The Animal Network has partnered with the Jordan's Way Tour to raise funds for local animal rescue. They'll be running a special 3-hour Facebook Live event on Monday, April 24th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the Animal Network Facebook page. Help raise funds by participating in games, challenges, and other festivities as part of the live event at facebook.com/theanimalnetwork. That's facebook.com/theanimalnetwork. And again, it's Monday, April 24th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Baller Dream Foundation and Circa Resort and Casino are hosting a celebrity poker tournament from April 28th to 30th at Circa Resort and Casino's 60th floor rooftop lounge, The Legacy Club. This 3-day celebrity-filled weekend experience is hosted by Hall of Fame pitcher Greg Maddux to benefit young warriors battling cancer. Find out more, get your tickets, donate an item to the silent auction, or sign up to play poker at ballerdream.org/circa. That's ballerdream.org/circa. Make-A-Wish Southern Nevada is holding their Walk for Wishes event on World Wish Day, Saturday, April 29th, with registration at 7 a.m. and walk at 8 a.m. at Town Square, Las Vegas. Make-A-Wish chapters and affiliates across the globe come together each year to celebrate World Wish Day, the anniversary of the wish that inspired the founding of Make-A-Wish back in 1980. You can join in the celebration of more than 350,000 wishes that have already been granted while raising funds for future wishes. Sign up or find out more information at wish.org/snv. That's wish.org/snv. The Nevada SPCA is back for its second annual brunch fundraiser to support the care of homeless pets in Southern Nevada. The Brunch Bash Bark Rescue is happening Saturday, April 29th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Silverton Casino Hotel's Vail Pavilion. The event name and bar-inspired theme is a nod to special guest MC and animal lover John Taffer of the hit TV show Bar Rescue. Entertainment includes local favorites Murray the Magician, Cass Cates and the Ashley Red Band, and King of Diamonds Rob Garrett. Get your tickets or find out more at NevadaSPCA.org/events. That's NevadaSPCA.org/events. The Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation's 9th Annual Munchies for the Military Donation Drive is underway until April 30th, providing care packages for armed forces members who are deployed overseas. You can drop off packaged snacks for the drive at various locations throughout the valley, including City of Henderson Rec Centers, Lifeguard Arena on Water Street, and all Humana offices. Find out more at Inspirata.com under Events. That's Inspirata.com under Events. The Just One Project's third annual premier On Cloud Wine fundraising event takes place on Saturday, May 20th from 6 to 9 p.m. at a private residence with valet parking available to guests. The Just One Project is Southern Nevada's largest mobile food pantry and distributes groceries to more than 20,000 food insecure residents every month. This year's event honors supporter Jerry Stanley, president and founder of SoilTech. Get your tickets or sponsorships at thejustoneproject.org/oncloudwine. That's thejustoneproject.org/oncloudwine. Three Square's Bag Childhood Hunger campaign is doubling its impact thanks to matching sponsors through May 31st. For every dollar donated, Three Square can provide up to 6 wholesome, nutritious meals to Southern Nevada children and families in need. Find out more or make a donation at threesquare.org. That's threesquare.org. And Chef Pete Gioni is running a 10-week Cooking for a Cure fundraising campaign with a goal of raising $100,000 over those 10 weeks to support the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. You can donate at the various partner restaurants or directly through his website through June 10th. Find out more, learn about healthy eating for cancer patients, see the list of participating restaurants, or make a donation at cookingforacure.com. That's cookingforacure.com.